1 Peter 4, and it says in verse 17, a mark of the people who belong to God's family. I want to be a part of God's family, the household of God, it is called here. It is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and it must begin with us first. So the judgment must begin with me first. I must judge myself first. Lord, in what area should I judge myself? Just the things he has mentioned earlier. Verse 15, am I a murderer? Jesus said, anger is equal to murder. Do I get angry? He said that in Matthew chapter 5. The Pharisees' sin was murder. In the new covenant, equivalent is anger. Like he said in the Pharisees' old covenant, standard was adultery. The new covenant equivalent is dirty sexual thoughts. So, am I a murderer? In other words, in terms of new covenant, do I get angry with people? Let me judge myself. Judgment must begin, verse 17, with me first. Before I pass opinions on this. Secondly, it says a thief. Now, I don't think we steal money. I don't think anybody here steals money. Do you steal a person's reputation, testimony by saying something negative about him so that person has got a bad opinion? You have stolen his reputation by the way you have spoken about that person. You're a thief. As much a thief as the fellow who stole somebody's wallet. You don't see, thief is not only money. I tell preachers, do you steal people's time? I say, if you get up in the pulpit and you've made no preparation for what you want to speak, you haven't waited on the Lord, you've not sought God's will, you've not studied the scriptures, and you get and ramble on from Genesis to Revelation and waste people's time, you're a thief of their time. Ask yourself, how much is the wages, hourly wages, $15 an hour? Okay, if they sat there for one hour listening to you rambling, or even half an hour, $7.50 per person sitting there, you've stolen already $400 from those people that day by wasting half an hour of their time. I say, it's like I remember a board in front of a manager's table. It says, if you have nothing to say, don't say it here. I like that. I like to put it in a pulpit. If you've got nothing to say, don't say it here. If you've got something to say, it'll help people, then say it. Otherwise, don't say it. Dear brothers, we can think we're not thieves. Evildoer. Don't suffer as a murderer or thief as an evildoer, something that harms another person. Do you harm somebody's reputation and afterwards discover, oh, I never realized that person did it with a very good motive, or what I heard was not absolutely right. I've made mistakes. I remember some years ago, there was a brother who was in charge of the audio equipment in our church in Bangalore. Young brother, very fine young brother, capable person. He was younger than my youngest son, but a very good person. And something went wrong that day, which I felt was a serious mistake. Not just a minor error, but something more serious than that. And I went up to him and I said, you should have been more careful. You should not have done that. And afterwards I realized he never did it. It was somebody else who did it. Boy, can you imagine how I felt? Somebody had told me that this guy did it and I did not even check it up. So I'm not being guiltless. I've been guilty. And I went to him immediately as soon as I heard it. I went to him and I put my arms around him and said, brother, I'm really sorry. Really sorry that I judged you without knowing the truth. Please forgive me. I want to be very much more careful next time. So I'll tell you, I have learned by making mistakes. Let me ask you, do you apologize when you discover that you judged somebody wrongly? And you told him something and afterwards you discover you were completely wrong. Have you ever gone to that person and say, oh, I'm really sorry? Have you felt a remorse about it? Have you repented before God and gone to that person and say, "Boy, I'm so sorry, brother. I'm so sorry, sister, that I judged you at the wrong." What an arrogant person I am to think of that. I'm not God. Only God has the right to judge. But I judged you and not thought about the reasons. I didn't even inquire. I didn't make inquiry. I just judged you. You know, there's an Old Testament law which God gave. Let me see if I can find it in the book of Deuteronomy. Yeah, Deuteronomy 13. It's a beautiful verse which I've quoted to myself many times and to others also. You know, it says here in Deuteronomy 13, you must know this verse, very, very important. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 13, verse 12. If you hear, you heard something, that in one of your cities, some worthless men, verse 13, have gone out and done something wrong, taught something wrong, and gone out and told people to worship idols or something like that. That was it those days. It may be something else today. But you heard something. What must you do? Now listen to this. Count on your fingers. Number one, you must investigate. Number two, search out. Number three, inquire. Number four, inquire thoroughly. Number five, see if it is true. Number six, see if the matter has been established. And number seven, see that it has been done. Then, verse 15, go and strike. He's not saying don't take action, but do these seven things before you take action. Boy, I'm so thankful for scripture that teaches me how to pass judgment. Judge yourselves first. Otherwise, you'll be holding hands with the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. I want you to see what the devil is called. The devil is called the deceiver of the whole world in verse 9. Revelation 12, 9. The whole world he deceives. But he does not accuse them. He does not accuse them because they belong to him. You don't accuse your son and daughter, do you? How many of you have gone around spreading tales about your son or your daughter? Tell me. Your son and daughter are not perfect. But when they do something wrong, you know your son or daughter did something wrong. How many people have you gone and told about it? Hey, do you know what my son did? Do you know what my daughter did? And go to somebody else and say, do you know what my son did? Do you know what? We never do it. Why don't you speak about your son and daughter like that? Because you love them. Why do you speak about somebody else? Because you don't love them. It's a plain truth. I'm telling you the truth. You just don't love them. You can say you're a Christian. You're a Christian that belongs to a new covenant church. It's all garbage. If you really were a true Christian belonging to a new covenant church, you would stop judging people like that. You would seek to love them more. And it says here the devil deceives the whole world, but he does not accuse them because they belong to him. All the world belongs to him. He deceives them, but he doesn't accuse them. But when it comes to the believers in verse 10, he's called the accuser. He accuses those whom he hates. Do you know that you always accuse those you hate? You may say, no, I don't hate. You do hate that person. Otherwise, you would not accuse that person. You may say with all this superficial talk about, I love that person, but it's all rubbish. You hate him like the devil hates God's children, so he accuses them. He loves his own worldly people who belong to him, and he deceives them. He doesn't accuse them. But he's called the accuser of the brethren. And it says here, read verse 10. A loud voice said, salvation and the kingdom of God and the authority of Christ has come because the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God at day and night. And I'll tell you something. Salvation and the kingdom and authority of Christ will come in your life when the spirit of accusation is thrown out from your life and you stop accusing others day and night. Do you want verse 10 to be experienced in your life? That's written about your life. The salvation of God has come to me. The power of God has come to me. The kingdom of God has come into my life. The authority of Christ has come into my life. You want all that? Sure. Get rid of the accusing spirit. That's what that verse says. It's a great verse. I didn't start like that. I started just like all of you, like all human beings, like Adam. It's not me, it's my wife. She is the one who picked the fruit and gave it to me. I was born of that Adam. And I had that same spirit. But I said, Lord, I belong to you now. I have to cleanse myself. I have tried to cleanse myself and cleanse myself and cleanse myself. Like it says in 1 Peter 4, judge myself and judge myself and judge myself with many mistakes and little by little by little. I've gradually got rid of that. I don't know whether I'm 100% free, but my aim is 100%. I'm pressing on to perfection in this area. And I'll tell you one wonderful result that has come from it. That when I stop always suspecting the worst about people and try to think, well, there must be a good reason, and think something good about that person instead of always thinking there must be, everything's good about me. That's how Adam says. But everything's bad about the other person. Now, if you're like that, you need to be cleansed from that spirit. And consider the possibility there's probably a lot of evil in you and a lot of good in the other person. I think of how Jesus sat at the well in Samaria and looked at this woman, 5 times divorced, and now sleeping with a man who's not even her husband in John chapter 4. And he talks to her. You know what he talks to her about? Worship. He should be talking to her about divorce. He should be talking to her about adultery. But he talks about worship in the spirit. Oh, he had discernment. He didn't think the worst about that woman. He must have thought, she's messed up her life. Poor woman. Never heard the truth, living in Samaria where the Jews never went. Never got the opportunity to hear the truth. Poor woman, I have compassion on her.